Now, I've got just three short readings. The first from the Gospel of John, chapter 1, verse 35. Again, the next day after John stood and two of his disciples, and looking upon Jesus as he walked, he said, "Behold, the Lamb of God." And the two disciples heard him speak, and they followed Jesus. Then Jesus turned and saw them following, and said unto them, "What seek ye?" They said unto him, "Rabbi," which is to say, being interpreted, "Master, where dwellest thou?" He said unto them, "Come and see." They came and saw where he dwelt, and abode with him that day, for it was about the 10th hour. Now shall we read from Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1. "Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witness, let us lay aside every weight, and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God." Now just a short third reading from Philippians chapter 3. Philippians 3, verses 20 and 21. "For our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself." May God bless that portion of his word to us.
Our brethren who do a very faithful and painstaking work in recording these Catford lectures, although I wonder why they should attempt to record the few feeble words we may say this afternoon, they like to have a title. And the title this afternoon is simply the one word, looking. Some of you have already perhaps picked out this word from the scriptures that have been read to us. I felt that on the first Saturday of a new year, it would not be inappropriate to suggest a word for the new year. I remember as a lad that those to whom we looked up to in those days, Sunday school superintendents, preachers, those who cared for the spiritual health of the young, often used to speak a word for the new year. In fact, they would present us with a motto for the new year. I would not dare to go as far as that this afternoon here in the Cackford Lectures, but I leave you to select the word, the line, the verse that you feel will best be of some help to you at the commencement of yet another milestone along the pathway of life. I think milestones are an essential factor of our earthly life. I don't mean times and seasons, I mean milestones. And a new year is a milestone. The day of our conversion was a milestone. The day of my baptism was a milestone. The day when you took your place, if you have already, at the Lord's table to remember the Lord Jesus in his death, that was a milestone. You know when it was, and you look back to it sometimes for certain reasons. It was a milestone in your life. It was a milestone in your life when first your heart and soul was really bowed in personal, private adoration of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's a very vital thing, a very important thing. And the first time, I suggest to you, is a milestone in the pathway of life. I mustn't continue along that line, but I wanted to underline that I do think milestones in the pathway of life are important, are worthwhile, and that a new year is one of them. The words that impressed themselves most upon me in seeking to prepare for this afternoon, a task which is no easier for having known of it many months before, the words were, looking unto Jesus. The author and finisher of faith, who, for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of God. And as I thought upon that verse and went about my business over the weeks and days, my thoughts then went back to this verse in the first chapter of John's Gospel, where this faithful herald, John, stands and looking upon Jesus, cries, "Behold, the Lamb of God." Looking upon Jesus as he walked here in this world, looked upon this blessed man upon whom he had seen the Holy Spirit of God in the form of a dove settle and rest, and knew that this was indeed the Son of God. He looked upon him, this man that was walking along the roadside, and he declares, "Behold the Lamb of God." And as you know, two of them that were with him and heard this clarion invitation turned and looked upon him themselves, and they left John and they followed Jesus, the Lamb of God. They followed him, and he turned and saw them following. For there is no one that can follow Jesus but that he knows, and he will instantly turn round to encourage along the way. He invites them to tell him what it is that they're seeking. They desire to know where he dwells, where his abiding place was. And he gives them the gracious invitation, come and see. And they went, and they saw, and they abode with him that day. Here you have, in a way, the Lamb of God running the race. Here you have the Lamb of God walking the pathway of faith. And you see him in the other scripture to which we referred, in the glory, seated at the right hand of God, at the end of the race, at the end of the pathway. He is the one who indeed is the author or the beginner of faith, and the finisher or the completer of faith. And what faith it was, what utter dependence upon God, what unswerving obedience, what faithfulness in every step of that pathway, with what patience he endured the contradiction of sinners against himself, with what graciousness he endured the faithlessness and the unfaithfulness of those that were his own. How he endured all the wiles of Satan, all the attempts to divert him from the pathway. He endured. And indeed, as the scripture says, at the end on earth, he endured the cross, despising the shame. Why? Because his heart was set upon the one whom he had come to please and to glorify. Because his eyes were set upon the Father's throne, where he was going and where he would sit down, because sitting down upon that throne would be the consummation, the complete fulfillment of all that he had come here to do. That he should sit upon the Father's throne showed that he had perfectly run the race, that he had perfectly fulfilled the Father's will, that he had done all that the Father had sent him here to do so well, with such satisfaction, with such completion, that God the Father receives him up in glory and seats him at his own right hand, seated there upon the throne. And there you have the pathway traced out from the beginning to the end. And the one who ran that race, the one who walked that pathway. And as we read the gospel, so we can pick out the steps that he took, We can wonder and ponder at the journey, at all that happened along that journey. And we can learn of the grace, of the faithfulness, the obedience that was in his heart. We can learn of the peace that was his amidst all the turmoil, of the joy that was his in spite of all the disturbances and all the upsets and all the loneliness that must have been his through this world. I don't think we can understand what the loneliness was to him as he walked through this world. Who was there with whom he could really commune? Who was there to whom he could really open his heart and be understood and get back a response? Oh, here and there, yes, there was one that for a little while had some glimpse, some understanding of all that he said. But all his communion was not with anyone on earth. His communion was with the Father, and it was that which sustained him as he went along the journey. And so, from looking upon Jesus as he walked, we turn to looking unto Jesus, the one who has finished the pathway, finished the race, and is set down at the right hand of God in heaven. And we are encouraged now to run the race, looking unto Jesus. We're not left here to settle down and go to sleep, although we find it perhaps only too easy to slip into that way if we're not careful. We're here for a lifelong journey, a race to be run. Here is a call to action, a call to energy, a call to effort, not of self, but join sustenance, strength, grace from the one who has run the race before. We have some counsel. We are encouraged. We are advised or counseled, if you like, to lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily besets, and to run with patience. For those of our very young and energetic young men, they don't need me to tell them that this year sees Olympic Games held in Mexico, and you've only to look at your papers now and again and you read some news of those who are preparing for those games, jumpers and runners and other athletes of various kinds are training and training hard and stripping themselves of everything by way of weight and excess physical properties in their bodies and other things, so that they may be 100% fit to run the race and win. Well, here we have a race of far greater importance, a race that ends not in a gold medal, but in glory. A race that ends at the very throne of God, where the Lord Jesus Christ himself has sat down at the Father's right hand. And the counsel to us is to lay aside every weight. You know, sometimes some of us we have to go to the doctor, and he says, well, you know, part of the trouble is this weight of yours. You've got to get rid of it. You say, well, doctor, I don't know whether it's that or not. I only know I'm always feeling very tired. You say, yes, quite. You see, look, you go and take two big suitcases and fill them with bricks, and then you toil up the steps at Kensal Rise Station, and you're going to be mighty tired and out of breath by the time you get there, and you'll be glad to put them down, won't you? Well, now, you see, you're already carrying those two cases of bricks within your own body, and you've got to get rid of them. Get rid of that weight. Well, there are things in our lives, cares, worries, anxieties, ambitions, the things in which we get caught up with the things of this world, legitimate things perhaps, things of business, things to do with various societies and associations that possibly our work, whatever it may be, in the factory, the office, the shop, or if it's in the professional field, would seek to draw us into. And before we know where we are, we're weighted down and our pace is slackening and our spiritual life begins to run low, and our eyes are not quite on the target. Lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily besets. We have to get the sin question settled before we begin the race, and we have to see that was settled at the cross of Calvary, because we cannot run the race if we have a guilty conscience. We cannot run the race if we are always being bogged down by a sense of our utter sinfulness. We have to take steps to see that those sins that are peculiar to each one of us, and which so easily get the mastery over us, so that perhaps we're toppled over before we know it, lay aside every weight, and the sin which does so easily beset. You know what beset means, don't you? You hear of people walking along a dark road and some wicked men jump out on them, and they beset them, and they clobber them, they cross them. Well, that's what happens to you and me sometimes if we're not careful, if we're not always on the watch. Satan is on the watch. His angels are everywhere. C.S. Lewis, in his Screwtape book, he would almost say that there was an angel or a devil, if you like, attached to, told off to look after just one Christian and to follow him everywhere and to learn everything about him, all about him, so that he can, at any time, he can just crash in and trip him up and have him down, laying aside every weight and the sin which so easily besets. Let us run with patience. Patience. Oh, you say, it's a long journey. I often feel I'm not getting anywhere. I seem to fail so often. I can't see what the use of all this is. I don't know why the Lord has placed me here when I would rather be there. Ah, well. Lord Jesus was here. I don't think it would be wrong and irreverent to say he would much rather have been in heaven, wouldn't you? But he was here to do the Father's will, and he ran with patience. And we are encouraged to run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, looking unto him. There are those who've run the race, who've gone before. They're referred to as a cloud of witnesses. They're not the witnesses along the sidelines of the racetrack to see how we run. They are witnesses to the fact that the race can be run, that the race has been run, that the race has been finished by ever so many who have run in faith and in patience. That for our encouragement, so that we may see that it is worthwhile, that others before us have run the race, and we too can run the race. But it's not to them that we are to look. There is a way, there is a sense in which Paul can say, you be followers of us. You take us as examples. That is true, that is something else. But here, the leader is the Lord Jesus Christ himself, who is the author or the beginner and completer of faith. Now, most of you don't need me to tell you that little word "our" before faith, our faith, doesn't help us really. It doesn't give us the right sense at all. It's not that he begins our faith and completes our faith. Faith is given us as a gift of God, that is true. But that he began and finished the pathway of faith, and that he is our leader, our pattern, our example, one to whom we can look, upon whom we can turn our eyes, and so run the race. There's a very simple hymn, isn't there, that we sing in the gospel hymns or in Sunday school sometimes, which has a verse or a chorus. Moment by moment, I'm kept in his love. Moment by moment, I've strength from above. Look into Jesus, till glory does shine. Moment by moment, O Lord, I'm thine. That is just the simple message that we want to pass on this afternoon, looking to Jesus. We shall finish the race, and we shall reach the glory, and we shall be with him on his Father's throne above. And whilst we run, not only do we look to him for the strength and grace and patience that we need, but we also are those that look for him. And that is why we included the verses from Philippians that we would just commend to you with very little comment now. For our conversation, or our citizenship, some people put there, for our way of life, it doesn't belong to this world. This world has got a way of life, and it's an earthly life. But you know, because we're saved, because we belong to the Lord Jesus, we're heavenly people. Oh, someone says, it's difficult to realize that sometimes, yes, to our shame, but it's still true. And our citizenship is in heaven. And it's from heaven that we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Yes, he's going to come from heaven. He's going to come and take his own to be with him. And he's going to change everything, change our bodies completely, into bodies like his own body of glory. He's going to do so many other things too. He has told us all about it in the book of the Revelation, and he would have us to read that book where so much is said of the Lamb, where we see the Lamb in action. The Lamb upon the throne, the Lamb opening the seals, the Lamb defeating those that would dare to make war against him, the Lamb standing on Zion, the Lamb prepared for his marriage, the Lamb as the light of the New Jerusalem, the Lamb as the light and glory of eternity. Well, he would have us to, that we might have him fill in our visions, that just as John looked upon the Lamb, we may look unto the leader as we run the race, and we may look for the Lord from heaven. God grant that we may, each of us, do so for his name's sake.